This podcast episode is sponsored by Navy Pro Tools. As business owners of Ever Pretty Beauty Studio, we understand the importance of using the highest quality tools and hygiene products.
We instantly fell in love with Navy Pro Tools when we first invested in their cuticle pushers named Ethel and Doris. Their titanium coating gives them their signature gold look, but also helps minimise cross-contamination, and we were blown away by their precision.
Hygiene has always been a top priority in the studio, and using the Navy three-step hygiene process has allowed us to work safely and effectively, giving us full confidence. Navy's hygiene system has been created with the help from Dr. Fenton, an infection prevention and control expert. If you wish to place an order, you can use our code PRETTY10 for 10% discount. Welcome to the Beauty Edit Podcast, a podcast solely dedicated to the nail and beauty industry. In today's Behind the Brand episode, we sit down and chat with Chantelle Boyson, the founder of Elim, a luxury medical manicure and pedicure range. Listen in to find out how a holiday to Thailand and a personal need for a solution to dry, cracked heels led to the start of Elim. From tiny steps to great strides, Chantelle's passion and enthusiasm for the industry has been clear to see throughout her journey.
On a more personal note, we discovered the Elim MediHeal range last year through Renew Beauty here in the UK. After trialling the products between lockdowns at Ever Pretty Beauty Studio, we made the easy decision to switch out our current range for the incredible Elim products. The results we achieved with Elim products were far better and longer lasting. We are now able to treat thick, hard calluses with ease, and the MediHeal peel eliminates the need for exhaustive rasping. We are also proud to announce that we are now Elim mentors here in the UK. If you have any questions regarding Elim or are thinking of training, please drop us a DM. You can find us at the Beauty Edit Podcast or Ever Pretty Beauty Studio.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing, Shelby?
I'm good, thank you. Are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Beauty Edit Podcast. We're so excited to have you come and join us. Obviously, Elim has made a huge impact in the beauty industry over here in the UK. So we're so excited to pick your brains, basically.
It's an honour. Thank you very much for having me.
No, we're huge, huge fans of Elim. We almost didn't expect to be as big a fans as what we've turned out to be, though, really, did we?
No, I don't. I think some people are a bit sceptical. We use them in our home studio. And like Shelby was saying, I don't think we were actually, like, expecting the results that we've seen.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Oh, well, that's wonderful news.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we were maybe a little bit sceptical. I don't know.
I feel like that whenever like a new product comes out that claims to be good, you think, is it? Let's try it. And we like to try and test, don't we? So we always get a couple of guinea pigs in who, like, but in these instances, we chose a few friends whose feet are maybe not in the best condition.
No.
So we asked them to come in and we gave them a few treatments and we took before and after pictures, and we were wowed by the results. Yeah. You can see the results in the pictures.
So much so we ditched as old.
Yeah, quite quickly.
As old line.
I think that is exactly why Elim was born 16 years ago, because I couldn't get results. I'm a bit of a pedicure junkie, and the Elim brand started out when we started 16 years ago. We only started with a pedicure. And at the time, just before that, I was living in Israel for 3 years, and my heels were terrible. And I really needed something that that could give me results. And that was that's how Elim started. So you're not alone in this. It's exactly why I developed Elim. It's because I wanted something that actually worked and that could give me results that lasted a little bit longer than 3 days. Because normally, you know, you go home from a pedicure and 3 days later, your heels are bad again. And those are the two things for me. I don't know about you, but for me, there are always two things in a pedicure. It's the application of the nail varnish should be fantastic so it won't chip unless you have gel. And then the condition of my heels. You know, if you can see a quality of a pedicure by how well your heels keep. And that's where it all started. It's, yeah, I started Ilum because I had the problem.
Yeah. So did you say that was 16 years ago?
Yes. Can you believe it? It's 16 years ago. It's, it was actually, if you don't mind, I'll tell you the story. It's the listeners are always interested in how it came about and how
Please do.
How this baby was born. The callus removal industry is not new. So that was something that was already in production. You know, you had callus removers in Germany 20 years ago. And I was actually on holiday in Thailand. And yes, and I was walking on the beach with my husband. And there was this board that said skin foot. Now, people who have been to Thailand or been to the islands will know what I'm talking about because they tend to write English translations. Like, it's hilarious sometimes when you look at the English translations.
Yeah.
And when I looked at skin foot, my husband just laughed and he said, because he knows I've got such an obsession with my feet. And I've always thought, you know, women, they dress beautifully, but it you know, ugly pair of heels or cracked heels can just ruin a whole outfit. And he looked at me and he said, that sounds like something you should do. And I sat down for a pedicure and the lady who did my feet used a product on my foot and it was a callus remover. And it was brilliant. And I looked at the stuff and I thought to myself, my goodness, this is it. I think I'm going to become a millionaire overnight because this stuff is just I'm going to bottle this stuff and sell it throughout the world globally. Anyway, it's not that easy.
Yeah. as I found out.
And 3 days later when I landed in South Africa back home, I found my heels very, very dry. And I actually had a worse problem with them after that episode. And a friend of mine who's a cosmetic chemist, who at the time was practicing architecture, but what I didn't know was he previously had cosmetic chemistry as a subject. I had this conversation with him and I said, look at my feet. They dried out so much, but I used this magnificent stuff in Thailand. And I told him the whole story. And he looked at the bottle and he measured the pH of it. And he said, it's because it's an alkaline. And the alkalinity is the pH is so high. So if you just bring down the pH, then the skin should be performing fine. And that's exactly what we did. I then asked him to make me a neutralizer or something that would neutralize the skin and bring the pH down. So 6 months later, 7 months later, we had this tonic and then we had a neutralizer. And we perfected the tonic. I mean, we didn't use the one that we bought. We made a new formula that was according to European standards, and we had to do the whole FDA thing in the United States. So it was a completely new formula. But then we had two products, one that took off the skin and then one that neutralized the skin afterwards, that it wouldn't dry out. And that's really how it came about. And we just, for 2 years, we just had those two products. And that's all we sold. And people, actually therapists, bought that combo to use with their pedicure products. And it was the therapists, I give them the credit today, that asked me for a heel balm. They were the ones who said, Chantal, don't you want to develop something else? Don't you want to give us a better heel balm? Because when we look at Ilum or we look at the medial pedicure, it's the only thing that actually works. This stuff works. So we need a balm from you that works because there's so many on the market and there's so many marketing gimmicks and people convincing you. Just give us something that actually works. And it's exactly what I did. You know, Shawi, I sat down and because I'm not a therapist, I'm actually a journalist by trade. And then later in my life, I studied psychology and then I did an honors in knowledge management, which I haven't any of them used for one bit because I love beauty. I sat back and I thought, what do I love about heel balms when they use it in a salon and what do I hate? And the first thing that came to mind was the fact that I slip in my shoes afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah, there's nothing worse. So off I went and I ran to my friend again, the architect/cosmetic chemist. And I said, can you make me a heel balm where you won't slip in your shoes afterwards? And he said, I can do that. And that is exactly where the Foot Perfector was born. So, so the Foot Perfector was born, and so it was with every single product that we've got. The AHA was exactly the same thing, you know, with the alpha-hydroxy acid. I looked at the industry and I said, why would anybody scrub their feet with sugar and salt if you can scrub your feet with the alpha-hydroxy acid and a jojoba bead oil? And I just asked the questions. I said, why do we not have AHAs in foot scrubs? And I think it was a cost issue. You know, people didn't want to, product houses didn't want to spend the money on feet at the time. And for me, my feet were important enough. And I wanted a scrub. And it was the same with our fragrance. You know, all the pedicures at the time, 16 years ago, everything was fragrance with vanilla or chocolate or jasmine. And I wanted something that could resemble a fine fragrance. You know, at the time I was using Dolce & Gabbana, the one. It was a fragrance that I used. And I said, I want something similar. I want my feet to smell the same as my body. I don't want a peppermint heel balm. I want something extraordinary. And that's a long story, but that's how it started. Now you know.
It's one of them, like, as feet, like, just going back to what you've just said, Chantel, it's the biggest neglected part of the body.
Yeah, isn't it sad?
Yeah. I mean, the carriers about 3 times around the world, I think.
Yeah. In your lifetime.
In your lifetime, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, we should look after them, definitely.
Mm. And I don't think it's that people don't care about their feet. It's not that. I think a lot of it's ignorance, and they are not informed. So a lot of people don't understand how a callus actually forms. And I've often explained it to people and said, if you wear a shoe that's too tight, it's a very natural reaction for the body to react and send you a signal and form a callus, because the shoe rubs against the skin. And exactly when you file, you're doing exactly the same action. So you're sending trauma to the brain. Mm-hmm. So the body will react and form a callus. So the more you file, the more calluses you cause. And it's as simple as that. And we find the same thing now with fungal infections. Is people are just not informed enough about how a fungal infection spreads, and that they have to sanitize their shoes and deal with it like a real fungus. It's not just something that you can drip on your nail and hopefully in 14 days it'll be gone. It's a live fungus. So yes, people have neglected their feet, but I think in their defense, I think a lot of we can blame a lot of on ignorance and misinformation that's been in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, we see this quite often in our salon with fungal infections. Like, a lot of clients come to us and it's clear, obviously, we can't diagnose, but it's clear to us that these are signs of a fungal infection. Mm. And the amount of times that you tell a client, they're like, oh, right. It's just goes straight over the head. To them, it's just a bit of discoloration on the nail, and that's as far as it goes. And they're not really even that bothered about treating it, are they?
No. Like, it's only when we refuse to paint them or apply any gel or anything like that, that they're then the more upset that they can't have them painted than they are treating and getting them
back to health.
Yeah.
Mm. And what they don't realize, it can spread from one nail to the other.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many times do you see it? You see it go to the next toe and the next one.
Yes. And also with shoes, you know, you put on your shoes, you treat your fungus or the infection, and you take good care of it. You sanitize it with alcohol. You do everything. You use your fungal force. And then tonight, you put your feet right back into those slippers that you had on last night, and all those bacteria crawls back onto your nail. And we can compare it probably to, it's not the most pleasant topic to talk about, but you can compare it to head lice. You know, when small children have head lice, it's quite a story to get rid of it. You know, you've got to sanitize everything and boil and get rid of the bedding, and toys have to be cleaned, etc. And it's exactly the same thing with the nail fungi. It's not when you don't see the nail fungi, it's not that it's gone, you know, and I think that's a mistake people often make. They see the yellowness going and then they stop medicating.
My friend's actually just started the fungal force.
Ah, okay.
So she only started it yesterday. So I'd be really interested, and she's really good. You know, she's one of these that does follow what you tell her to do, and she does do it religiously. So I'm excited to see the results using fungal force.
Oh, wonderful.
So the name Elim then, where did that name sort of like come from?
That's an interesting question, and the one I probably get the most because it's it's an unusual four-letter word. Elim is a real place, actually. It's a biblical term, and it was a place in the desert where the Israelites came to rest. And the place where they came to rest was a place with 70 palm trees and 12 water wells. Now, the water was there for healing for them at the time. If you read either the Torah, if you're Jewish, or you read the Bible, or I think some of the other scriptures as well have the same story in it. But the word spa, I don't know if you know that, is an acronym. So it stands for Sanu Per Aqua, which means healing through water. And that was the first place that people came in history, that's known, that people came to healing for to water for healing. It was the place of Elim. So that's where the name came from. So it's the very first spa, in my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't even know that myself. Do you know, I love these podcasts because we learn something every time, every episode.
I've spoken to people that own spas that don't know what the word spa stands for.
Oh, good, I'm glad. I don't feel too bad
now.
You
don't feel too bad.
Well, I absolutely love that. I think as listeners are going to love that as well.
Yeah, yes. I think so.
I hope so.
So when you started Elim all them years ago, then 16 years ago, sort of was it like an overnight success, or did it take some time to get going?
I think, you know what, it always takes time to get going. I had a magnificent mentor when I was younger, and he gave me some great advice. He said, if you have a plan, work that specific plan and keep working the plan. And I think a problem and a mistake many entrepreneurs make is they have a bit of an opportunistic streak in them, and many of them are creative. So when a new opportunity comes along, then you get sidetracked and you change your plan. And Mediheal and Elim was my plan. It was what I wanted to do. And I had to come back to Elim every single time and keep working that plan. You know, my poor husband sold two of his Land Rovers. Well, he had one, then sold it for me, paid for stock. Then it went better. We made a little bit of money. Then he got to buy a new Land Rover, and then he had to sell it again because I needed stock again. So he sold two Land Rovers.
Do you know, Chantel, I'm laughing because this is such a theme that's running through the podcast, that people sell the cars.
Oh, really?
To generate, you know, the money to put into the business. Yeah.
You know what? You have to sometimes do what you have to do to make it work. And we took out a bond. So it wasn't easy. You know, I remember the early days when we packed. I had to gather friends and family that could do it for free for me. But that was 15 years ago. Today, we manufacture in a pharmaceutical factory, so we don't manufacture in a cosmetic factory. So it's all pharmaceutical regulations, also because we export to very specific markets with very tight regulations. But it wasn't always that easy. You know, there are lots of sacrifices that you make, financial sacrifices, family sacrifices. I think I have two boys. They are teenagers now. My one son is in Spain. He plays football there. And the other one is here in South Africa. But you know what? There was thank goodness they were boys, but there was a big part where their father had to jump in and take care of things, because I had to travel and do international training and train the distributors across the world and meet people and understand what they want. Because if you're not on the ground, you know, it's very difficult to run a business if you don't know your customer. And the first 6 years in South Africa, I did repping with the reps. So I was one of the representatives. I was a CEO, but I was also a rep in a car every day, because I knew the importance of forming those relationships with clients. And it's ironic, because still till this day, most of them are friends. I know them. And they still buy from us. Not, I think, because they're loyal, because I was there. It's just that, you know, I was in the spa, understood what they needed and what they wanted and what their challenges were. I didn't walk in, try and sell them a couple of £1,000 of products and walk out to meet my target. It was a relationship. You know, we needed to understand what they're struggling with and how we can make life easier for them and how we can bring their pedicures from maybe 30 pedicures to 300 pedicures a month. And help them with things like menu designs and you know, just impart knowledge to these people. So yeah, those are the early days, and today I have all that knowledge, fortunately, in our tutorial. So I don't need to go to them anymore. Although, I mean, my distributors still get very annoyed with me, because I still contact the clients all the time. I love them. They're my favorite. And I answer on Instagram, and then the distributor says, Chantel, you're not supposed to answer. Can you please leave it to the representatives? I'm just so eager sometimes, you know, when they ask questions and I know I can help. So
That just shows how passionate you are to me, that Chantel.
Yeah.
And like everything you've just said, I don't think there's a better person to speak about the brand and spread the awareness than yourself.
Oh, thank you.
You've had the issue, you've come up with
the solution
to it, and then you're the one that's passionate about it. So I think all them three, it just shows the true passion that you have in the products.
Absolutely. You know what, and we want something, I think, going forward as well, with everything that we're going to develop in future as well, is to really move away from trends and to see where the market's going. And rather to look at the end consumer and the therapist and see what their needs are. Because they are the ones dealing with the pedicures every single day. Yeah. I've seen for so many years, I've seen pedicures coming out year after year after year. This year, it's the same thing. This year, they'll bring it out in, I don't know, fig and jasmine. Next year, it'll be hemp. The next year, it'll be chocolate. But it's essentially, it's the same thing. You know, it's all marketing and trends, but it's the therapist that sits there that will tell you, my clients are, I'm seeing 4 clients a day with fungal infections, and it's not, what we've got on the market's not working. You know, those they're the ones that are honest with you. And I've learned from the therapists. They're the ones who taught me. You know, like I said before, I was trained in all other industries, but not in somatology or in skincare. And the students, when I did student training, they were the first ones who told me what the epidermis was, because I didn't even know what that was. They taught me everything I knew. I know
one of the like sort of main pros that we find with Elim is that it takes out that sort of like rasping, that like arm work, that achy arm when you've done a few pedicures. And I mean, even just doing one pedicure that way for me, I get so, I can't say the word, but bored of you know, constantly filing, and I think, oh my god, like I'm just not getting anywhere with this. For me, that's the biggest pro with Elim, is that like
the arm work.
Yeah,
it removes the arm work. But also, when you are rasping like the traditional way, like you're saying, Shelby, you know, it's very hard to know when to stop. And if you just take it that little bit step too further with the rasping, the next time the client gonna come back, we're gonna have a whole worse scenario. Whereas with Elim, it's like butter.
It just does the work.
It does. It does. And you know that it's taken the right amount rather than too much.
Absolutely.
I honestly love it. And if anybody's listening to the podcast and thinking I'm just saying it because we're speaking to you, Chantelle, that is not the case. I really do. Like I say, we've ditched us other products.
Yep, it's gone.
And I do love feet. Feet are my thing. I do love a pedicure.
Yes, and we wanted, you know what, essentially it's a product that works. When people often ask me what's the ethos of the brand, it's not some complicated paragraph that's published somewhere. It's really very simple. Elim works. When we develop anything, we don't leave the lab before we are 100% guaranteed that it will work, and that we use the maximum amount of active ingredients. So we don't just give you a 0.0001 so we can mention it on the label. We put the active ingredient in that will solve the problem. And we make sure that we bring something new to the market. You know, it's innovative.
Yeah.
But it needs to work. That's essentially, that's what it needs to do. For me, that is what I needed. 16 years ago, I needed something that would take the rough skin under my feet away, and not form more calluses on my feet.
Yeah, I know. We get a lot of like messages through Instagram and things like that because we've posted on our salon page before and after pictures. So we get a lot of like other beauty therapists and nail technicians messaging us and asking what we think to it. And also when I've been chatting to other therapists, they've maybe used a callus peel, callus remover, and the word, they're almost frightened of the word because maybe they've used another product, but 2 weeks later, the feet are still peeling, do you know? And they're frightened of the word peel because they think it's going to do some sort of damage.
Yes.
What would you say to them listeners that are thinking exactly the same, just to reassure them with how Elim actually works?
Well, what Elim does is the tonic, the callus remover, it is designed to break up the bonds between the proteins. So it's what they call a keratolytic chemical. So that means that it works on the keratin, and it works only until it's dissolved the protein bonds, and then it stops, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Elim is, I'm under correction here, but I think still the only brand who sells a neutralizer and prescribes a neutralizer with their callus remover. So when you use the neutralizer, the pH neutralizer afterwards, then the skin is, the pH of the skin's returned back to about 5, which makes the skin perform at its best. Because that's where it wants to be. And we're teaching our bodies after a while. I am now nearly 50, and I've been using Elim obviously ever since I developed it. So I don't need MediHeal pedicures so often anymore. I maybe go for one. I'm talking about the tonic. The other products I use all the time, but the tonic, the peel part, I probably do once every 6 months because my body has now learned not to make the calluses. So you're actually teaching your body that it doesn't have to protect itself because you're not filing. So you're not causing any trauma to the skin. So your body's learning, you know, it's what we call body wisdom, but it learns to react in a certain way. And that's magnificent. It's wonderful how we made. If that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it does perfectly. I mean, if anybody's almost like a beauty therapist and they've trained in like facials and skincare, they will know about like the pH table and like the difference between acid and alkaline and things like that. So it is a bit more in depth than just a case of just applying, you know, some products to somebody's feet. You know, like you've said earlier, Chantelle, that it's dealing with the pH level of the skin. So I think if you've got a little bit of an understanding of how that works, you know, one end we've got like dry feet, the other end we've probably got wet and sweaty feet. And it's like getting that pH balance.
Absolutely.
So I don't think anybody should really be afraid of using the products at all. It's just all beneficial.
Absolutely. You know, the only place we don't use the products if there is a bleeding crack. But so it is with any chemical. We wouldn't do a facial peel on anybody or a deep exfoliation on the face if there was an open wound on somebody's face. Mm-hmm. So if it was bleeding on the face, we would avoid that area. And it's exactly the same with the feet. So we avoid areas because it is a chemical. And the wonderful thing is if something goes wrong, often the therapists call the neutralizer their 911 because they use it for all kinds of weird and wonderful things. but because it's a pH neutralizer and it neutralizes the skin, you see that if you have a mosquito bite or, you know, you have a like maybe insect bite or irritation on the skin, anything that irritates the skin and you apply the neutralizer, then it neutralizes the pH of the skin immediately and the irritation disappears. So they call it the 911. People with sunburns, if they burnt or, you know, there's redness or any trauma to the skin, they use the pH neutralizer. So yes, we often laugh and we say, where's the 911 bottle?
You might have to supply it to me in buckets because, gosh, if I go away on holiday and I get insect bites, my, like, especially my feet, they balloon to the point where I can't get flip-flops on. So I'll be going around putting my feet in buckets of the neutralizer.
I used it when my son, my oldest son was younger, he had measles. And, you know, it's itching. The skin, they scratch. And I was scared that he was going to scar himself. And we just applied the neutralizer. And it was amazing how it just calmed the skin. It's a wonderful 911.
Another top tip. So obviously we've spoken a lot about the Elim pedicure range, but there is more than just a pedicure range, isn't there?
Yes. So Elim consists of four different arms, two of which we sell in the UK. So we have MediHeal, which is our pedicure, and then MediHand is our manicure. That one is also sold in the UK. And then we have Natura, which is our natural range, and we have Body Science, which is our range for pregnant women and teenagers that's specifically designed for stretch marks. Very small range, but it just targets that. Let me tell you about the MediHand quickly and just what makes it a little bit different, because that's what you can go for in the UK. MediHand really was developed because a manicure is just a manicure. It's a manicure, you know, it's a scrub, and then they wash your hands, and then we spend a lot of time on the nails. And for me, there was more. I needed to face the fact that I was driving maybe 3 hours a day, taking children to school and back and to activities and back. My hands were on a steering wheel. I was outdoors a lot more. I was exposed. My hands were exposed a lot more than people were maybe 20, 30 years ago. And I think that's the reason for a lot of the pigmentation and aging on hands. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I wanted a manicure range that could address aging and pigmentation and not just a sugar scrub. So we developed MediHand specifically with the aim or to focus on preventing and healing pigmentation, and then to prevent aging on the hands. And then the Illuminating Nail Cleanser is a nail cleanser. The retail one comes, it looks like a toothpaste with toothbrush. It's something that you whiten your nails with. So it was something that people could whiten their nails with, even if they had gel or acrylic. You know, the bottom is always, it's not very attractive because you don't see that the nail is not clean from the bottom. When you look at it from the top. So from the bottom, you could use a nail cleanser. And I wanted to really just inspire people to use a nail brush again, because I think it's such a simple little tool that cost you, I don't know what a nail brush costs in the UK, maybe a pound, even not even a lot. That.
About 50 pence.
Maybe. And, you know, a nail brush is something that stimulates the nail bed. It gets rid of unwanted cuticles. It gives us such healthy nails. and just inspire people to brush, and children to brush their nails again. Because as a child, I grew up knowing that I had to brush my nails. You know, you don't get out of the bath before you've cleaned your ears and brushed your nails. And today, very few little girls own nail brushes. And it was something that I thought that that we needed to bring back. And that's when I developed the Illuminating Nail Cleanse.
Lovely. I think going back to what you've just said, though, it's just sort of like triggered me thinking. I mean, I'm 47, 48 this year. I'm a 48 this year. I think this is the menopause starting, Chantel. Yeah,
with the same age.
Can't remember anything. But yeah, I mean, going back to when I was a child, there was always a nail brush at the side of the sink. Always. And it was just something that you just always used. But then I've just been thinking, I mean, obviously with everything that's happening with COVID-19, we all have nail brushes and nail brushes in the salon and things like that. But up until the pandemic, it were a thing of the past, was a nail brush.
I didn't have one in my household until COVID.
But we always had, as children, like you say, wash your ears.
I did my
do your nails.
I still did my ears, but I just didn't brush under my nails before COVID.
A nail brush, it creates such a healthy nail. You know, it stimulates the blood flow under the nail. It's just so healthy for children to brush their nails daily. It's a wonderful thing to get into.
Well, I've gone off on a bit of a tangent there, but it just got me thinking, and I was like, we always had that.
Yeah.
Along with his grandma, like licking a finger and sticking it in your ear. Clean them. I wouldn't advise that to anybody.
I remember we even had, we're more or less the same age, but we even had nail inspections in school when I was little, where the teacher would walk through the classroom and inspect.
You all had your hands held out.
The little girls, especially, you know, make sure that your hands were clean and you had a handkerchief with you and that you brushed your nails and that they were neat and tidy and clean. And I don't think that they do that anymore, which is really sad. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to go back 30, 40 years, but nothing wrong with brushing your nails.
I think if the pandemic has taught us anything, I think definitely hygiene standards, you know, at home and in the salon, it's just going to elevate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So one of the questions that we always like to ask people on these sort of like behind the brand episodes is, what is one of the biggest challenges that you face whilst running Elim?
I think there weren't specific challenges where I could say I had a challenge with this formula or I had a challenge with this country. I think my challenge is just more to let go. If I have to be honest, I think because Elim feels like it's so close to me, and I have such belief and trust in it, and I have such a passion for the therapists and to help them and to grow their businesses. And sometimes I have answers that I know that they're seeking for. It was a challenge for me to let go because you enter a market in a country. And then you have to walk away because there's an authority there and you can't get involved. So even in our head office, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to acknowledge the fact that you're really bad, you suck at social media. But there are people that are really, really great and we employ them and we pay them, and I have to let go that my little creations that I did on Facebook are not that great. And maybe I have to stick away.
Everything. No, I mean, it is like your baby, though. That's what it is. It's, you're so passionate and it's so close to your heart that it is very hard to let go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know where you want to go. But you know, it's understanding and believing that there are actually people in this world that can do things better than we can do it. So I have the love and I have the passion, but there are people that do more creative work than I do, that can do my SEO better than I can do it, that knows how to do brand ambassadors. They know those things, and I don't, and it's okay. You know what? It's okay. And so that was a it was a big challenge for me. It was making that decision that I'm not great at everything in Ilum, and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's in good hands with Renew Beauty here in the UK for sure.
Yeah.
When one can step back and say they're doing the whole online thing much better than I'm doing it, you know, then you know you've appointed the right people in a country when they do it better than you. Because the UK were the first where you were really hit hard by this pandemic, and it really proved and showed us Renew's innovation and how brilliant they operate. So it's wonderful if you can look at it and say they're better than me.
Don't worry, we'd never say that they're better than you, but
no, because if you hadn't created the products, they wouldn't be able to distribute
absolutely them. No. And that's why we're a team, you know what, we share knowledge and we're a team, and I create great products for my distributors, and my distributors have great innovative ways of selling the products and marketing it, and we share. And it's, I think that's what makes a great team. It's what why I love them so much.
So we've spoken about sort of like your biggest challenges that you face, but what about your sort of like career highlights?
Career highlights. I was very proud the day that we actually signed the Fairmont Hotel in Monaco. It was one of my my goals. And then also the Palms Hotel in the Jumeirah Beach area in Dubai.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so the day we signed them, that was a big day for us. And then we 2 years ago, 2019, we won a Global Brand of the Year for the African continent. So that was also...
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
So that was also a big highlight. But you know what? I suppose every day, it sounds like a cliche, but every day can be a highlight. I mean, it just depends on how you look at things.
yeah, definitely. Yes. Wow, Shelby, I feel a visit to Dubai coming on.
Oh,
just for a pedicure.
Yeah, it's been one of my, it's on my list of places that I want to visit is Dubai, and that was just more of a reason to go.
Yes.
Or at least to go and have a pedicure whilst I'm there.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful spa.
Oh, and that's what I need right now as well, is a spa day. Yeah. A spa day and a holiday mixed into one.
Sounds like we all do after this COVID and lockdown. We all need a nice summer holiday.
Yeah. Absolutely. Am I right by thinking, so I know you mentioned it briefly, and obviously we can tell from the accent, you're based in South Africa, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm based in South Africa and I live in Cape Town at the southernmost part of Africa. Yes, I live in a small town on the west coast called Melkbos Strand. It means milk bush, like a bush, and it has a milky substance. So it's a tiny little town. My headquarters office is just around the corner from my home. So I live by the ocean. We bought an old property and renovated it to house our headquarters, where our international staff members sit that just manage our international orders and our logistics. And it's beautiful because I can walk to work every morning.
You're selling the dream, Chantal. Yeah.
with my my barking border collie, Max.
I love border collies. We used to have one when I were a child when we lived at home, Sabre. Lovely dogs.
So in Cape Town, and our factory is in Johannesburg in Edenvale. It's a pharmaceutical factory, but we have our factory in Johannesburg and our packing warehouse, because our products fly out. We don't ship our products on the water because of the expiry dates and just because of safety issues. So we fly out all our products, and obviously most international flights leave from Johannesburg. So it is better for us just to have a factory up in Johannesburg. Years ago, I used to go up there all the time, but today, you know, it's like such a well-oiled machine. Everything works so well, and the quality assurance is so great. Our team there is just incredible. So I go maybe once a month, but that's it.
How big is your team now then?
Well, we subcontract a lot of it. So at the head office here, we have myself and an assistant, and then we have our sales management team. And then just down the road, we have our South African distribution, which is from another office. And they're about 10 girls who sit in that office. So that's the that's the South African distribution. And they do all the online and the marketing, etc. And then most of the other functions are outsourced. So our web and our graphics are outsourced. So those are people that we don't employ, and we just use them on a contract basis.
But yeah.
I think altogether with the factory, it's probably be over 300 people, but they're not all on our payroll.
Yeah.
It takes 300 so people to make this Ellen machine roll.
So obviously, getting a bigger picture of Ellen and the products and how the company works, I know you've said it's been going for 16 years, but how has it sort of like become the brand it is today? Has it just been through your hard perseverance and knocking on doors and spreading the word? Or has it sort of like, did it at any point, did it just sort of ignite and just become this big brand that you then started distributing like worldwide?
No, it wasn't. It was never an overnight thing. It was continuous work, banging down doors, and convincing people. And a big part of it is because people are very fearful and desensitized already with a lot of marketing. So it was hard convincing them of yet another pedicure that came onto the market. And why would we invest in another pedicure? We already have a pedicure, and this one's working fine for us. Why must we now buy other products? So there was never one instrumental moment that I think that was the tipping point. It was continuously working at it and giving great service and keeping the therapists first. You know, we in the UK, we have there's a group, a Facebook group, I think they're called Ellen Pros, Ellen Therapist Pros, yeah. Or something. Yeah.
We're part of that.
Oh, okay, fantastic. So a couple of weeks ago, and this is so wonderful about the time that we live in now, because it's there are no rules. So there were a couple of therapists that had ideas around how we could change one of our products and what would make life easier for them on our callus back removal, the sachets that we brought out. And this became a conversation that I had with some of them in private and some of them on the group about what do they think and how they would do it. And so we improve on products with the help of the therapists. And, you know, with their input. So it's continuously like cutting away, you know, the bad and just striving for better and to perfect what you've got all the time and making it as profitable as you can for the salon. Because she needs, you know, sense at the end of the day. You know, she needs pennies in her pocket. We need a product that she feels safe to use. She needs a product that she can have confidence that will give her results, because it's very difficult for a therapist to sell something that she doesn't believe in. So she needs to see results. It's a continuation of all those things continuously that made Ellen work. There was no magic, unfortunately. I wish there was, but there wasn't.
I'm sat here thinking, why has it taken 16 years for me to find Ellen? That's what I want to know. I think this podcast, it's been so inspiring. I've loved recording this podcast. So yeah, if anybody wants to go and find that group, it's called the Ellen. Let me just check it. Ellen Pedicure Pros in on Facebook.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, fabulous. I think one good thing to sort of end this recording today is, what are your goals for the future? For your future of Ellen?
It's a good thing you said Ellen. what are my goals for the future for Ilum? Otherwise, I would have said I'm on my way to Spain to drink a pina colada if that hit us in with COVID. But with Ilum, it's always been the same goal. It is for every single person in the world to walk into the salon and say, I want an Ilum pedicure. And that's the only pedicure that I want because that's the only pedicure that gives me results. Nothing compares to it. So that's my goal. I keep working at that. And the same with our manicure, that people will choose us because they get results and they trust us and they see that it gives them the results that they want. So that's the goal. That's where we want to go.
Yeah, we've noticed that already, though, haven't we?
Because on social media.
No, we're going to say about people asking for Ilum pedicures. Mm. Like, there's certain brands over the years that have made that big of an impact that clients and general, you know, members of the public ask for a name. And it used to be
Biosculpture.
We always used to get phone calls. Yeah. Do you do Biosculpture nails?
Yeah.
And then now we've had quite a few emails during lockdown of saying, when you reopen, I'm just emailing to find out, do you do an Ilum pedicure?
I love it.
I don't know if that's because they've seen it on social media or maybe they've been somewhere else and had one. But it's starting that trend of asking for a specific product or service.
I know
coming
my Ilum clients are that amazed that then they've gone home and told the mum. And then the mum's come, and then a mum's gone home and told her friend, and a friend's come. Yeah. And it's just simply just snowballed,
It's always been the best way of marketing, really, is word of mouth, because we really believe people around us. I'm exactly the same. If I buy something, the first thing I do is I read the reviews online to see what other people thought.
Yeah, I read them before I buy it.
Yeah, if I ever say to mum, like, oh, I've seen this online, she goes, have you read the reviews? Yes, mum.
But talking of reviews, just quickly, I know, like, our booking system, people have left us reviews specifically about Ilum and the results. So, again, when other people come and read our reviews, they see that people have specifically said about an Ilum pedicure, and then they've wanted to book in for it as well.
Oh, wonderful. So, wonderful. And then, you know what, a lot of the credit goes to the therapist as well. I often say that we created a brilliant product in our pedicure and our manicure system, but if you apply it wrong or you don't provide a great service, that product is worth nothing. So this is an absolute, it's a team effort. Every single therapist, if there's a great review, they love to send it to me and say, oh, look how great Ilum was. And I often react and say, you know, Ilum is great, but you need it to be great too, because it takes two of us to perform this pedicure. It's not only the product. So it's for the therapists out there that provide that immaculate service just that do the job with passion. It's really that's what sells the brand, and it's a combination that's really there.
I think it's like what you've just said, Chantel. It's a combination of fantastic products, training. I think the training is exceptional, and people do need to train in the products, and obviously Renew again here in the UK offer amazing training.
They do.
And then goes hand in hand with the therapist and the passion from the therapist and the customer service and the aftercare. And I think, like what you've just said, teamwork makes the dream work.
Absolutely. So please keep sending all those before and after pictures, but pat yourself on the back too, because you are magnificent. You do a great job as therapists out there.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a lovely sort of statement to end the podcast on.
Yeah, definitely.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, Chantel. We've loved chatting to you so much. We don't even want to let you go.
It's such an honour. Thank you so much for asking me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review and subscribe.
We would love to connect with you on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at The Beauty Edit Podcast or join our Facebook group, The Beauty Edit Podcast Society.
Thank you so much again, and please do look out for another episode of the Beauty Edit podcast.